Next case is 96-2335 Terry L. Cox versus Ohio State University Hospitals. Mr. Spiro.
Please support Keith Spiro. When Woodrow Cox was transferred from Shaft Memorial Hospital to Ohio State University, he had no prior professional relationship and did not know Ohio State University. He certainly did not know the doctors that began the treatment, those who he was transferred from place to place within the hospital. He certainly did not know or have any relationship with the two doctors who were alleged to have committed enough practice to allow them to die. Now, we have Clark versus Southview Hospital. This court promulgated certain rules with regard to the liability of a hospital for the absence of independent contractual decision, whether the actor or agency by itself. And in the course of the opinion, not in the headnote, it indicated that the element of representation is satisfied if the hospital holds itself out as a provider of medical services, and that the element of reliance is satisfied if the patient looks to the hospital, not to a particular doctor for his medical care. But it does not specifically say that in the headnote, and because of that, courts in the state might think, and some have, especially in this case, that they do not have to follow that. We ask that those things be in the headnote, and further, that a clarification by the court for the application of the lower courts and the public be made with regard to who has the burden of proof with regard to whom the patient look to provide medical care. Should there be a presumption that the patient looked to the hospital unless there was a prior professional relationship with a particular doctor, and we submit that there should. And in fact, there's another question. A hospital, if it's to escape responsibility for the care of doctors that it permits to practice in a hospital, should they have an affirmative duty to make its patients aware that it is not going to accept responsibility? If it makes its patients aware at a time when that can be done, then and only then should they escape responsibility. In this day and age, individuals, HMOs, employers, when they decide on what health care plans to adopt for the benefit of their employees, insurance companies, everyone ranks hospitals. They all rate hospitals. And everyone understands that when it comes time for their health care problem to be taken care of, the hospital that you go to does make a difference. The public's perception is that the hospital is responsible for the quality of medical care that goes on in that hospital.
The defendants argue that what you're really saying is that hospitals should be held as employers of anybody that practices there and should be liable for any of their negligence. Is that essentially what you're asking to find?
I am asking you to find that unless the hospital, under the circumstances which this court would permit that exception to apply, can't be across the board. But unless the hospital clearly makes the patient aware that they're not going to accept that responsibility. And we're saying, yes, there should be times when that occurs.
When you argue that, then, don't we sort of have to change the whole way hospitals operate? Because right now, hospitals don't supervise it. I mean, you have credentialing. They do the first pass as to whether they're qualified, but you don't have hospitals that supervise the operation of doctors and every order they make and all. There's no control. There's a lot of difficulty in trying to get rid of a doctor that's not incompetent. It's a very difficult process. Don't you have to also change all of that to make it fair, to allow your system to prevail?
I believe that the change has already occurred and that hospitals exercise a great deal of control, some of which plaintiff lawyers cannot have access to because they do it privately. But there are peer review committees, there are operation committees, there are surgical committees, there are quality care committees, and it's a lot more than just credentialing. They have control. And yes, under the circumstances now, it may be difficult to get rid of the doctor, but if in fact they want to, they do. And they have the ability to do that as and they should do that. They should be responsible for the quality of medical care that goes on to the hospital unless they make it very clear that they achieve that responsibility. The perception of the public should be made the reality.
Mr. Sparrow, in Clark, it was an emergency room, and probably everybody can see an emergency room as a particularly an easier call. In this case, was Mr. Cox, I think the parties seem to be at odds whether or not the referring physician in Coshocton referred him directly to Dr. Smead or referred him, I can't even tell whether he went through the ER. Your opponents say he was referred to Dr. Smead. I think you generally in your brief dispute that.
Let me indicate that when the patient didn't know Dr. Smead, the patient only knew that he was in Coshocton, and they said, you need big surgery, we don't have the equipment, we don't have the people, we're going to send you to OSU. The doctor there in Coshocton said in the past he would use this Dr. Smead, but the patient doesn't know anything about that. All he knows is OSU, which is a tertiary care center.
To a vascular surgeon. I mean, it wasn't that there was something wrong with the hospital in Coshocton. It was the lack. They have operating rooms, I guess, but they didn't have vascular surgeons.
That's right. They didn't have the ability to be able to take care of this particular man's problem.
Should we analyze that issue at all, whether you referred to a hospital or because there wasn't, no hospital, or that you referred to a particular physician? I mean, that you referred for a specialty. Does that matter? Or is it just the holding out?
When the hospital holds itself out, that we are the biggest and the best in Central Ohio and beyond, and this is where you can send your patients, I think that the public and the doctors who refer are coming on the fact that that is true, that Ohio State University Hospital is the biggest and the best. And then they have the patient who doesn't know what's going on to be told, you can't rely on this at all. Your perceptions are wrong because we have these various contractual machinations where not even the doctors know if they're employees or not, which happens here. So if we bounce around the
It's important here that we're not really talking about whether the patient later, and of course this patient didn't survive, but it's really whether there's the law permits responsibility to be put upon the hospital for such holding out. Isn't that what we're really talking about? Not that the patient would be told, it's not OSU.
I believe that under Clark, it's clearly implied that the hospital can be and should be responsible under the doctrine of agency by estoppel, and nowhere in the Florida Claims Statute or any other statute does it say that this particular hospital cannot be responsible for agency by estoppel. Indeed, the statute allows Ohio State University to buy insurance to guard against liability based on their agents, and it doesn't say they accept by agents by estoppel. And the statute clearly says that they're going to be guided and controlled by the same laws that control suits between private parties. So I believe, and there certainly should be no distinction between being referred by an urban hospital or by a rural hospital or anything like that. Therefore, we weren't going to be in court of claims. competitive. Therefore, we would be able to go against the doctor. This court decided Clark versus South New Hospital, and we felt that they were absolutely within the purview of Clark.
Well, you certainly could have said that to preserve your action here.
We elected to go against the hospital because we believed that they went both ways.
So you made a conscious choice as an attorney to go any possible direct action against them and just go against the hospital.
Well, when Clark came out in 1994, we had been out of the town police court for 7 years already, and thought that it would be somewhat difficult.
Would you have been able to resue them once the court claims found not to be employees? Would you have the right to resue them?
Under the exact facts of this case, the answer is I don't know. But under the exact facts of this case, the answer is that we would be able to go against the hospital and court of claims under the doctrine of agency by estoppel, and we elected to do that.
If you lose this case, your action against the doctor is already gone, right?
Seems that way.
If the Chillicothe doctor had advised your client to go to Riverside Hospital, for example, it's likely that your client would have gone there, isn't it?
I don't know. Riverside Hospital does not have the same reputation as Ohio State University Hospital. Under the record, Mr. Cox told his son and his daughter that he would lie down Ohio State University Hospital because everybody in the state knows Ohio State University Hospital, even if you're not from Central. That is the biggest and among the best. And he relied on them. I don't know if he would have chosen Riverside. I certainly have had cases myself where that has come up.
Well, if the doctor
rejected it and it went to Ohio State University Hospital instead.
If the Chillicothe doctor had said there's a good vascular surgeon at Riverside Hospital, I recommend you go there. Would your client have gone to Riverside?
I can't answer that question.
Not really.
I don't know.
The point I'm trying to make, not doing very well, good job at it, is that what distinguishes this case, it seems to me, from Clark, is that in Clark, as you know, there's a lot of language about, a lot of words about reliance and the fact that patients go to, patient there went to the hospital because of representations made by the hospital. Patient, as I recall, made the volitional act on the patient's part, and that was the sort of the underpinning of the rationale of Clark. Here, that we have to take a step beyond Clark, do we not?
Thank you.
Well, I'm not sure that you have to do that. There was an aunt who had advised her niece that if anything happens, make sure you go to Southview. In this case, rather than an aunt, we have a doctor recommending to a patient. For the same reasons, because of the reputation of Ohio State, reputation of Southview.
That's true. And it was Ohio State University, as well as a particular doctor there, that was being recommended. And I think doctors all over the state do refer to Ohio State University, even if it's to a particular doctor there. It isn't as if they're referring the person to the doctor's private office someplace, and that doctor is going to eventually decide, don't go to one Catholic. Here's a man, an extremist.
Mr. Spiro, you only have about a minute left, and so if you don't, I'm sorry. May I interrupt you to just ask you to address the other issue that is that seems to be important here, and that is the limited jurisdiction of the Court of Claims to where the state has waived its immunity for acts of its employees or employees authorized to act on behalf of the state, in as much as these physicians were adjudged to be non-employees. What about the jurisdiction of the court of claims to go beyond the statutory exemption and go for agency by estoppel?
I think that the state has waived its jurisdiction with respect to all agents, not just this is an exception, but I believe that nevertheless it does have jurisdiction. Otherwise, there's not going to be any responsibility. Now, if the Ohio State University has...
Well, the words of the statute are employee. How would you have us reason that to just say...
It says that they are allowed to buy insurance to protect against liability
of the agent
for malpractice for its agents. It doesn't say accept agency by estoppel. So consequently, all the statutes have to be resolved and read one against the other. And I believe that it can be resolved in our favor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spiro. Mr. Brown.
Seems to me with Judge Tyack saying the majority has turned Clark on its head. And I'm struggling with, Mr. Brown, I'm struggling with Judge Tyack's dissent because it made some sense to me.
Well, I can see where it may, but I do want to go to the public policy argument.
Okay.
What is in the new legislation, which has been determined by the legislature to supersede FARC. As you know, FARC overruled Civil Number 4 in Alabama. The legislature is superseding FARC in 2307-48-81, where it supersedes FARC. It begins with two FARC tests. One, it must be working out. Two, that the plaintiff or the patient must look to the hospital. And thirdly, an outline, it worked on reliance, and if that person went to the hospital, they would have refused care. The only thing that was changed in this was that if you sought care, if you knew that agent of the hospital, the brought agent of the hospital, was an independent contractor, you would have not bought it. That's the public policy now at this state.
Council, we try to have some clear legal principles here.
Yeah.
Are going to grant immunity to officers of the state, meaning elected officials,
That debate, look at the statute, how it was drawn, how they created the court, how they created the gaming system, how they created the service, and the rules of court, everything was well thought through. And they came down to the point of this. They said, we are going to have immunity for employees, and we're going to have immunity for officers. Didn't mention agents last awful, independent contractors, or anybody else. Council mentions a statute that is an insurance statute, not an immunization statute. The immunity statute is banned 9.46. It says it right on top. It's as pure and as plain as the nose on my face. It granted immunity for employees, it granted immunity for officers of the state. That's where it went. This case is not the case. Because if this case goes back to the Court of Claims, we're in the same position. Putin and Gaddick have already been determined to not be employees of the state by the Court of Claims in the full hearing. I was there. By the way, plaintiff advocated that they were not employees at that same hearing. The laws of the state are set by the legislature. The legislature says employees and officers in a special court for the state of Ohio. This court has ruled on numerous occasions that is a legislative province to determine how far immunity can go in the state of Ohio. And it has gone to that point. Ohio State University has a special place in the law. It's unlike Riverside, it's unlike the other hospitals in the state that are not state hospitals. That is a legislative function, and they have done it, and they did it again. And they did it again. And they said the burden of proof, whether there was a holding out, the burden of proof as to where the plaintiff stopped, did it stick the hospital or did it work to a doctor, the burden of proof as to whether they would have sought that care if they knew that agent was not employed by the hospital, would they have sought the care? The burden of proof is on the plaintiff. It's right here.
Yeah, you're arguing House Bill 350. Does House Bill 350 apply to this case from 1986?
We have debated that subject, Your Honor. It says in the notes in the rear of the manual that it supersedes Clark.
I understand what it says it supersedes Clark, and that's a whole other issue. If, in fact, we say 350 applies, then we've got to decide if they can do it that way. But to your main argument, which intrigues me, I want to know what you would have done or I would have do if I had been in his position, your adversary's position, when Judge West determined that these were employees of Ohio State University. You say the Court of Claims has determined they are not. A common pleas court has said they are.
From a practical point of view, on that summary judgment, I would have opposed it. And if I was lost, I would have taken it up. And then when this so happened, that in the meeting time, O2F was amended into the statute. Once O2F was amended into the statute, there was an O2F hearing.
Yeah, and I understand that, and you went through that. The problem is that you've got a common pleas court saying they are employees. I understand your argument. You were not a party, you were not served, you weren't there. So there's a question about res judicata, issue preclusion, and all of that. You say you didn't have a chance to respond, but you've got a common pleas court decision that nobody appealed that says they are employees. And then the Court of Claims says they're not.
And they also said that the affidavits were fraudulent. Now, what I would have done, if I were the plaintiff's lawyer, I would want to be in a common pleas court. I would want to be in front of a jury.
Mm-hmm.
That case was on appeal.
He didn't need to appeal because he won. He was seeking a finding of whether these people were immune. The common pleas court said they were. That's why you have to go to the Court of Claims.
The common pleas court did it on bare affidavits. It was a defense motion. It was a defense motion saying we're in the wrong court. These are employees, and here are the affidavits they said.
And the judge said, yep, you're in the wrong court.
Not opposed by the plaintiff's lawyer.
Right.
Why would he? He now can go to the Court of Claims and hear everybody's case instead of having to bifurcate them.
Well, maybe that's why we're here, Your Honor. If I were the plaintiff's lawyer, I would have objected. I would want to stay Most plaintiff lawyers work very, very, very hard to stay out of the courthouse. They want to be in the commonplace court. That's where the juries are. That's where they feel they'll be a better decision.
And that's why he sued two separate suits, one in the court of claims, one in the common police court.
That's what the legislation prescribed.
And then the judge to the common police court says, you're in the right church, but the wrong pew. You got to go across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So they did.
You've used your time, Mr. Brown.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Spiro, you saved a second. You take 30 seconds.
Could you respond? Could you respond? I know, but that's an insurance statute you were citing to me about.
I believe he indicated that, before we had the court of claims, we had the Sundry Claims Board, and they determined whether that state would be responsible. But we have the court of claims, and there's no place in the court of claims statute that says that who has immunity or not is absolutely dispositive of the jurisdiction of the court. It does not say that black on white. Therefore, you can say what you will with regard to it because you are the Supreme Court. And the statute does not exempt agents by estoppel either. So consequently, I believe that you have the jurisdiction and the power to do that. And a great law professor once said that the legitimate purpose of the law is to preserve legitimate expectations. And the people who will go as patients to these large hospitals all over the state, including Ohio State University Hospital, once they're in that hospital and they are given from this doctor to that doctor, their legitimate expectation is that the hospital is going to be responsible for the quality of care that goes on in that hospital to vital physicians.
What about the issue of when this employee, not employee, came up for claims, what position did the woman take there?
We were astounded that now it's the affidavits that everybody relied on in the county police court. They're fraudulent. These people are lying. What are we supposed to do? Well, we weren't going to get into it. We thought, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to keep quiet and we're going to go back to the county police court because we're going to be here again on other things. And we're just not going to do anything to go back to the county police court. And then 12 days later, this court comes out with Clark. And we say, you know what? We can do the whole thing in the court of claims. And a plaintiff elected to do that and did not go back to the common police court. If Clark didn't come out 12 days after the decision was announced, perhaps we would have.
Did you somehow join in the advocacy that they were not employees?
I think that it was apparent from the way it was going that there was not going to be any possibility of a plaintiff prevailing in court of claims under these facts and these circumstances based on these affidavits with these doctors who were viewed in the nicest possible way as liars, and that consequently we just kept quiet and did not oppose anything, thinking we're going to pack our bags and go back across the street. But then when Clark came out, that's a different story.
Just, and you didn't, because you didn't think that you could get the doctors in the court of claims case, that
we thought that we would be able to have the hospital responsible for their malpractice because they apparently were employees of the hospital so far as the public is concerned.
But the public isn't is the public the sole determiner of liability in these cases? I mean,
no.
Isn't there some rule of law that says that someone has to be proximate cause or has to be a real relationship? I mean, I guess I'm a little confounded by the fact that we say if the public says, if the patient says, well, I thought you were an employee, that's the end of it. Should that really be the end of it?
Well, Ohio State University holds itself out as the biggest and the best, and they say they're in active competition for their health care dollar, including in competition with Riverside Hospital, and they are going to be bound by agents.
Yeah, I know all that, except the record here seems to indicate that Dr. Smead was the person that was really the critical person here, because that's who the doctor in Chillicothe wanted his patient to see. We can argue. I mean, we've had all. I guess my concern is that we look to the hospital, which we bypassed the persons who were primarily liable if there was negligence, and we looked to the hospital instead. I guess I just have some problem with that conceptually. Is, well, here's a big hospital, and so we'll go after them, and we'll forget about the doctors.
No, I think they should be jointly responsible. And I think that that has to be the law of Ohio, unless the hospital wants to make it clear to its patients that they will not be responsible for the quality of medical care rendered by particular doctors. If they do that, all right. But if they don't, then I believe that since they are actively seeking patients and they're in competition with Riverside and many other tertiary care centers, that they want the patients to come to Ohio State University Hospital as opposed to somebody else, they should not be able to hide behind what some sort of immunity which the other hospitals can't.
Counsel, your red light's on. Who killed the client here?
The hospital and both. You're asking my opinion. I'm not going to agree with the finding of the judge of the court of claims with regard to the nurses that didn't do their job. I'm just not going to do that. But the fact is that they both did. They allowed this man to die, and they shouldn't have.
Thank you, Spiro.
Thank you.
The case is submitted, and you'll be advised of our opinion.